Hallelujah. All right, Matthew's Gospel 28. In the first service, we began to look at a continuation of what we taught during the last week at the Workers' Convention. A continuation, if you were not there, I don't know where you were, you should have been there. We're continuing from the things that we learned and we taught. Matthew's Gospel 28 and verse 18. And then Jesus came unto them, saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, unto King James, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And we said earlier that that word means to be a pupil, to make you a pupil. A learner, a servant, mathetuo in the Greek, M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O, from where you have the mathetes. Mathetes is M-A-T-H-E-T-E-S. A pupil, someone who is learning. And we said in the first service that who you are learning from or what you are learning is Christ. You are not in church to learn trade. You're not in church to learn psychology, culture. You're not in church to learn commerce or politics or philosophy. You're in church to learn Christ. And that's the essence of discipleship. We'll mention a few things in that order. Now, one of the phrases of discipleship is to sit at his feet. To sit at his feet. Now, which is an idiom, or you can call it a grammatical statement or a figure of speech. You see this in Luke's Gospel chapter 10 from verse 38 in the story in the house of Martha, where it is said that Mary in verse 39 sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now that phrase means to submit to. It means to submit to. And I said to us in the first service that you cannot have discipleship where there is no submission. You have to submit to the training. So, to disciple will be to submit to the training. To sit at his feet, again, means to submit to training, submit to instruction. It's not just to be around when the instruction is given, or to be around when the training is going on. It is actually to submit to it, and that's what it means. And that's why you find that word at his feet used later on in the book of Acts, where in chapter 4, after people sold their lands and houses, verse 37 says, they sold it, this is Barnabas now, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. That doesn't mean they were throwing money at their legs. It simply meant that they gave it to them. They submitted the money to their authority. That's what submit, or to be at his feet, that's what it means. You see that phrase again in chapter 5, verse 2. And kept that part of the prize, his wife also being privy to it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. In other words, submitted it to them, to their authority. Another place you see, even though it's negative, is in chapter 8. Where Paul, now called Saul here, was there when Stephen was stoned. It says, in cast him, verse 58, out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Quite a number of people. It simply means they submitted it to him. He collected it from them. So, to submit at the feet, which is a phrase used for discipleship, means to submit or to sit at his feet. It's not primarily just be around. Many people were around when Jesus taught. But how many were his disciples? So, being available and just hearing the teaching and getting blessed is not equal to being a disciple. A disciple is actually somebody who follows. He's being trained. He attends to it like a student. And that's why Paul, in Acts 22 verse 3, gives that illustration, the same word, for the way he learned at the feet of Gamaliel. Acts 22 and verse 3. Brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel. Simply meant he submitted himself for training. Now, what that implies is to see the trainer as a model, and then to make a lot of observations. In the case of Jesus, if you read Acts 1, 20 and 21 to 22, the people who were called his apostles were folks who went in and out with him. They went in and out. They didn't select the meetings to attend. They didn't select where not to go. So you're not coming for the workers' convention, or you're choosing not to be a worker in the church. On its own a sign of rebellion. It means that you think there are certain things that you can opt out of. You are not obeying God's word. Okay? You are actually doing what you want. And so these guys went in and out. In and out. Did they have other things they had to do? Of course they did. In fact, at the point, they said, "We have left all to follow you." In other words, they weren't jobless, houseless, homeless, parentless. No, they had to put priority. They said, "We have left all to follow you." Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse 27, 28 to 29. He said that. He said, "Well, if you left all to follow me, then you won't lose anything. You won't lose anything. You left all to follow you." In Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, just before Jesus picked another set of disciples, in chapter 10, one fellow comes to him and says, "Oh, Master, oh, bye. I love you. I believe in your ministry." That should be about verse 59 and 60. "I believe in your," verse 60, 61. "I believe in your ministry." No, that should be verse 57 or so. "I believe in your ministry. Oh my God, I love you where you teach. I love the way you preach." And 58. "I love the way you saw. I'm going to follow you." Then he said to him, "Birds have nests, birds of the air." He says, "Foxes have holes, but the man you're talking to has nowhere to lay his head." In other words, you have to decide on your comfort. The second person comes. "I'm going to be with you in the ministry. We're going to serve together, but I need to bury my father." And then he says to him, "Let the dead bury the dead." That looks very harsh. Like, no. Yeah, go ahead and do that. No. Take your time. You know, take your time. He says, "No, let the dead bury the dead." The third guy said, "Oh, I understand. I mean, why should he be coming to serve, thinking about the dead? Actually, the dead are gone. My dad isn't dead, he's alive. I need to tell him that I'm now committed to the work of the ministry." Luke 9, verse 61. He said to him, "He that puts his hand on the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom, is not fit to preach the kingdom of God." He said, "Let the dead bury the dead. You go first and preach the kingdom." That looks mean. Very mean. You have to give priority to family issues. Priority to emotional issues. No, he doesn't. Because he doesn't share his glory. He doesn't share his position with your desires, no matter how legitimate they are. Now hold on. So he picks his disciples. Those are his students. Not those who come around to hear the message. They get healed, they get blessed. Woo! Woo, 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 woo! They are the excited bunch. Hey! Wow, what a service, man. God move in that service, man. That's not... Disciples are those who submit. There was a time, a fellow, he was to write an exam of a Bible school. An exam of a Bible school. Then he said, I want to write the exam, but unfortunately, sir, my only sister is getting married." So he said, and he's on the D. In the Bible school, people said, No problem. I mean, that's a, your sister has to get married. You have to be there. Get it? Because it's a very important thing. The family function. You are the only brother. You need to be there. Or my elder sister, sorry. You need to be there to play your role. And so he went. And so when he went, he came back to the school. He was told to repeat the class. He said, ah, why should I repeat the class? Actually, I told you, my sister, are we not the judge of God? Now, if you were to be in the university, would you write the dean of your faculty or the college of education, your provost, and say, because my sister is getting married, can you move the exam? No, you wouldn't have said that. Which means you can do that for the world. Praise the Lord. Go eat your cake and have it. So he says, look, you don't choose. Jesus said that. So if you put your hands on the plow and look back, you're not fit for this. In other words, this service of God demands first priority above all else. And so his disciples were those who abandoned all that. They followed him. Now imagine, let me ask you a question now. Imagine, I'm going to ask you a question. This is you and I. Imagine if the 12 acted the way some of us do. Sometimes they're too tired to be in church. They had engagements. They were elsewhere. These guys were fishermen. They had their work. Imagine they had family life to attend to. And so they went in the prayer services. Sometimes they went in the teaching meetings. Sometimes they just said, sorry, let me tell Rabbi Jesus that today I'm a bit indisposed. And they all didn't come. Where would the four gospels come from? CNN? Today you read it because some people actually serve God with the same conditions you and I have today. And so they went in and out. And so when they were going to pick someone who was going to replace Judas, there wasn't a contest. They knew who would fit in. It had to be someone who was always there. Not the person who will give you excuse. Some people like that. If you check your phone, if you are their pastor, and you search for their text, what is predominant there is sorry. Sorry, sir. Permission. 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 Excuse. Excuse. So in the body of Christ, they occupy the room of excusitis. Excusitis. They always give excuses. Fellow told me one time, I won't be able to come to church today. I said, why? He said, you know, we have this family Thanksgiving in our village. What are you thanking God for? 20 years after my father died. What's the Thanksgiving for? You have the book of life with you that his name is there? And it's just to thank God. I asked the question. What if you were the one that was pastoring the church? Would you have abandoned the service for that? He said, no, sir. So you are an irresponsible person. You took that decision because you felt you had no obligation. That's irresponsible. And so, he sets the priorities. This is how he wants his service done. And so these guys followed him so well that they became his eyewitnesses. They are not just talking to us by the Spirit of God. They are talking to us for things they saw. Imagine if all we knew about Jesus were prophecies. No, they gave us true life stories. That what you read about God in his servanthood in the Old Testament, we saw it. John, in his own epistle, these are things Paul couldn't write. John said, that which from the beginning, our eyes beheld it. Our hands handled it. He said, we saw him. No, he said, this is not just prophecy. We saw it. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, 16, he said, we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Epoptis in the Greek. Two words. Epai and Oraho. We saw him totally. We saw him. That's why when he said to them, you are witnesses of these things, Luke 24 verse 48, that means you saw it yourselves. Everything the prophet said, the fulfillment, you saw it. Acts 1:8, you shall be witnesses unto me. That's what he meant. They saw him. They didn't see. Why didn't he choose everybody that came to eat bread and fish? Because he left after a while. Why did he choose those who were healed? That's part of the congregation. They were always there. Mercy, miracle. Those who said, we've never heard anybody preach like this. He didn't choose them. Matthew 7:28. Those who are astonished at his doctrine. It's not every time his doctrine will be nice. You know those guys, there are sometimes the disciples were uncomfortable with him. What's he saying again? He says, Master has gotten up. He has woken up. Did he sleep? He slept too. We have to start going. And he's going. And where are they going to? They are going to Zacchaeus' house. Zacchaeus, what is he doing there? They get there. They monitor him. They followed him. They saw scriptures fulfilled. So they were now fit to be called his disciples. They saw it. They followed closely. And so, for us, what we have is the written word. But for them, they are the eyewitness. And so they will write unto us, Peter precisely, in 1 Peter 2:21. He said, Jesus, 1 Peter 2:21. He said, for unto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his footsteps. The word example there is the word hypogrammos. H-U-P-O-G-R-A-M-M-O-S. It means a written copy. A written copy. In other words, they deliberately wrote those things for you to see the example that he led. He left behind an example. It means to put something in place deliberately for it to be followed. And then we're to follow after. The word follow after means to be devoted to it. Now listen to this very well. As a disciple, we don't have a choice. He says we are to be devoted. Parakaleo in the Greek. Which is where you have the Mark 16:20. To be devoted. Epakotheo. Which is to be devoted to something. 1 Timothy 5:10 and 24. Where you are devoted to something, you follow it religiously. How Jesus has been. So, as disciples, that is the pattern we have. Now, let me go over a few things I said before service. I would advise, if you came for the second service, which most of us have, to listen to the first service teaching. That's how this can flow for you. We said that the death, burial and resurrection of Jesus will first come to us as what? Salvation. You believe it, you are saved. Romans chapter 10 verse 8, was yet it, the word is nigh thee, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith that we preach. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, verse 9, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation. Now, after that, we said a bigger word is discipleship. Discipleship simply means, pay attention, the gospel which saves me, listen carefully, the facts of the gospel that saved me now become an example for me to live by. That is spiritual growth. That is, the death of Jesus, which justified my sins, is now an example. So, I am not only to believe to be saved. I now follow the example of what I have believed. So the food of salvation is the same, or the fact of salvation is the same element of the food for spiritual growth. Was that Christ died? Christ died. Yes. Oh, God became a man. Woo, glory. God became a man. Hallelujah. Oh, he could have called thousands of angels, but he knew. There's a song that I think Mr. Blessing sang in the first service. To shake. Well, and then Isaiah will come up. If I had was, I could not tell it. You better have one now, because if there was, I cannot tell it. I said, "Woo!" Now it is time to follow that example. That's why Paul said to Philippi, "Let your conversation be that which becometh the gospel." Philippians 1:27. We read that in the first service. That is not given on behalf of Christ for us to believe on his name, but also to suffer for his sake. That is, we are not meant to just believe. We have believed, we're saved. We have eternal life in our spirit. Now, those facts are now for Christian living. We saw that in the first sentence. So, we began to look at some basic things, and let me just go by, because it's a background for what I want to say in the second service here. And we said, Paul now said, let this mind be in you, if you are going to grow. And we saw the word phronio, remember that word? Using Matthew 16:23 and Mark 8:33. That is, phronio is a deliberate desire, where there's an option. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the very form of God, morphosteo, that is, when he came to the earth, he wasn't less God. He had every power as God. And he said, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The word ego in mind. He did not consider it. The word robbery, we said, is the word hepagomos, which is from the word apostle. He did not hold it tight. In other words, think about this. Let me go over how we said it in the first service. He's God in all ramifications. He wasn't less God in the womb of Mary. He's God in all ramifications. He was God, God, God. The creator of heaven and earth. Yet, he did not hold on to it. What it means is this. Imagine having a gun. This is a very terrible example, but just use it like that. You have a gun. And someone comes to harass you. And they're using a broom. And the gun is right in your pocket. You can bring it out and use it. And then he keeps using the broom, and you never touch the gun. Gun is working. Or, you had an influence. Let me explain that better. He's God. He's not man. He became man for our sakes. And so, he has all the powers of God. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. That is, at every point in time, he could have switched. I was saying in the first service, if he did, he wouldn't have died for our sins. So he had the option up till the point of death. That is why Paul says he was obedient to that point. Imagine God being obedient. Who was he obedient to? He was obedient to man. He made himself in a form of a servant. I always tell, I believe that this was one of the days that Paul lost words. Because he humbled himself. Now, I said in the first service, when you are low, you are not humble. Life has humbled you. You cannot be called respectful when you are young. You are just 15. The person talking to you is 51. Who else should be respectful? But when you are 51 and the person you are talking to is 15, that is when we know your character. So Jesus, you can be as very simple. You come to church 5 times a week because you have no job. And he said, no, I just love to serve God. Life has already made you humble. Gave you the example. Where, I remember one time that we were going for a Holy Ghost convention in Ibadan. And we walked from UI to Garden of Victory. We said we were praying in tongues. It's because we didn't have money. If I remember one time we're coming from somewhere from a program, 3 of us, and we didn't have the money. We laughed ourselves. 3. That's because I was the least waiting. I sat on everybody. Apostle, take it easy. Cool down. No money. Life has humbled you. You now have the opportunity to say you are spiritual. See, I was just having a lovely time in tongues. You know, he didn't have money even for Okada. So you raise your voice. That brother is fervent. It's not time yet. It's when you can afford a car, then you walked. That is the character. You are simple because you are a young person. There are some people, as soon as they get married, it's as though they married Jehovah God. They start working differently. Sister Bimpe? No. Mrs. James, please. Mrs. James. Next time. I was not angry, I'm just telling you. Mrs. MRS. Let this mind be in you. You come to a service. They say, sit down there. Please, they say, sir, please, can you sit down there? They call you, sir. You say, I don't want to sit there. Yes, well, young boy, I've done all this before. How old are you? Okay, you're 90. Okay, 100 years. Right? How old was Jesus? As God, Ancient of Days. And his mom. His mom that need was God that became a man. We have been looking for you. Follow us. And he followed them. If not me, I will say, have you forgotten Mary? Mary Alpha. Go down. I'm only being humble. I'm doing this for redemption. You know, you should be worshiping me. We didn't see a sign. Did he have the option at all times? Yes. And Paul says, let this mind be in you. Service without humility is in vain. May we never serve the Lord in vain. I said, may you never serve the Lord in vain. People can clap for you, but don't forget, at the end of life, you will be before the audience of one. Some of us, only a car you bought. Just one car. One car. That was taken through the border. One car. You say, works department. Or, let me use the word, operations. Operations, they deal with other matters. You say, I'm just thinking, must we wash it? Must you wash what? You now call someone to come and wash it. You did not serve. He could have called. Don't be so. Thousands of. Did you think Jesus didn't also have cleaning company? Will have called the angels. He could have called. You see now. Glory! He knew me. Yeah, they love me. He will glory make the heaven. No one's worthy of such mercy. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. So when you are in works department, who is on your mind? The moment your status, your age, your possessions come into view, you are not serving Christ. I said in the first service, we should not even know what you own. We should know the one who owns you. The gospel, the facts of the gospel, and the message of the gospel, and the messenger of the gospel, they must bear the same characteristic. He had no form nor comeliness. That was your desire. They asked you to join a department. You say, I said in the first service, sorry, HOD, thank God for, I've been learning the word in this church a lot. I'm just thinking, rather than us editing these materials ourselves, can't we hire a company? Or rather than us clean this place, we can get a, I have some guys that work for me in my office. See pride. And the same person will go somewhere else and you'll be asked to queue. If you are traveling, and he says you queue before the scanner. There was one day, he showed one picture of the Nigerian governor. He said, he's very humble. He was in America, he was queuing before the scanner. I said, no, he's not humble. You will remove your belt. You and your security people, you will drop your gun. Didn't they look at your face? That's not humility, that's life humbling you. Humility is when, even though you didn't have to, you now had to, for the sake of the people you were sent to. When humility is missing, there's no service. Your serving God must bear the characteristic of Christ, the message. Do you flaunt your age? Do you flaunt your status? I remember one time where myself and my boss then, he owned a company and I worked in there. He's a Nigerian American. So we were coming into the country from a business trip. And usually if you have observed Nigerians, when we're in other countries, we just behave ourselves. I think so. But when as soon as we were going to Lagos, in the place we start misbehaving. We just got to Lagos. And then we're trying to queue. The guy just didn't want to queue at immigration. He just went to the front. And my partner, who was my boss, he said, sir, we are all before you. Why do you have to jump the queue? I said, I don't care. With what my father has done in this country, I cannot queue. He said it so loud. Then my boss answered him, who is your father? Because he was the son of Tafawa Balewa. He said, look into your pockets here. My father's picture is there. Who is your father? Maybe your father was a counselor. In his village. Because when he mentioned his name, we have to go and check phone direction. You don't know what phone directory is. See what GSM has done. You don't know phone directory. In those days, when you're looking for, you go that green book. You go and check. Oh no, it's pride. I found your name in phone directory. That means you're 01 786 6444. Because you call at night. It's not your fault. It's a sender in your pocket that's making you proud. He said, who's my father? He said, who's your father? Some words will boast. What do you have? Can you control life? I said, no. I can't. Some of them say, I can't sit in that kind of place in church. I need space. So I need space. He said it to me. He said, there are some people, you know, their body. You know, people like that, naturally, if you ask for that, they are born again. God, how long does the Spirit of God need to stay in your heart? Forever is a long time, please. Let there be a change in 1 year. You can't sit with someone. And the same people, when they are sick, they obey everybody. There was a guy like that. He was in, they call, when it was as a younger Christian, he was serving, he would join departments in the church, everybody was, that brother is fervent. He now got promoted. Very high place. Was, I think, the managing director of an oil company. Multinational, and there are different oil companies. I know what I'm saying. There's palm oil company. There's an oil seal company. So, they now didn't see him in church again. And you know, some pastors can now be, because they'll just be giving you room and say, I understand the nature of your job. Say, you know, so pastor, you know, I will have come. You know, it's my job. but I'll be sending offering. So all of a sudden, they just saw him in church. Very fervent. Wednesday service. He's there by 5. Even before the pastor. All zonal meetings is there. Prisoner meetings is there. Personal meetings. Study group is one saying, when are we doing study group? When are we? They are wondering what's going on. He's saying, why are prayer groups just 3 hours? Can't you do 8 hours? Bro, take it easy. So the pastor was curious. He now asked him a question. Bro, sorry, I'm not saying, have you lost your job? I said no. He had a terminal disease. And so, in that terminal disease, the first thing was, he had time for the doctors. Because if you don't have for the doctors, you won't have time again. So he was faithful to the appointment. So that means there was time all along. It was just a case of priorities. So here I call you. Sir, are you the president of Nigeria? Governors, they have things they do. Some of them even do other things that we cannot say on the pulpit. You are so busy, like you are the angel watching the universe. We have camp meeting even during Easter, which is dedicated even among atheists for the resurrection of Jesus. You are still busy. You now have that time to attend somebody's wedding or burial, dead person, burial or memorial. Are you not the one we should do the first memorial for? Listen to me. Whatever you have cannot last forever. That's a fact you must accept. Yet, what Jesus had is who he was forever. He was God before he came. He was God when he came. He was God when he died. He was God when he rose. He was God afterwards. Yet your own, they promoted you. And right in your presence, they demoted somebody. An example unto you. Let this man be in you. Let this man be in you. And we said also in the first service, Paul now said, you mustn't serve with complaining. I told you, the moment you complain, that service is abomination. Jesus Christ was under the harshest of conditions. Are we correct? Harshest. Have you read how they were abusing? Imagine if you had 1% of godishness. 1%. And you see one small boy say, get out. Just turn. What did you say? Say it again. And the angels are already doing like this. Yet, what do you have? You come late to church. And you come. You won't be making noise without your shoe. Coca, coca, coco, coco. They say, you are late. Stay outside. Why? Why must I say, is it not the house of God? Yes? That's tyranny. I should be able to come to church anytime I want. Okay, come at 4. I'll come and worship. Or 7 p.m. Or even 12 midnight. Let this man be in you. Don't act your wealth. Don't act your age. Don't even act your beauty, amen? Or your ugliness. Don't act your wits. When you are serving in the security unit, in the protocols department, don't let us find out later who you are. Just like in the resurrection, they found out he was God. And they said, wow. And he did all of that. Peter would have said, see my mouth. Thomas, John, all of them. Yet he did not hold on to the fact that he was God. He humbled himself. So Jesus is our model servant. Are you learning something here? To serve God faithfully in Christ, you have to live in humility. To live in humility. And Paul warns us in Philippians chapter 2, where we read earlier on, in the first service, you just take this, I believe when the teaching comes out, make sure you hear the first one, of course you will, then hear this one. Then he says to us in Philippians chapter 2, we read up to verse 14, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Some of us are always complaining. They are say, we are praying at 6 o'clock. There was a brother like that in our fellowship in those days. Say, the name we called him was, he answers by murmuring. Oh, why just like that? Why is your life this crooked? He was okay, we are teaching for 2 more hours. Jesus taught for 4 days. Everybody told them now. How? He sent them SMS. Murmuring is a sin. 1 Corinthians 10:10 is a sin. Complaining. You begin to argue with your pastors, argue with your leaders. Someone say, I like you. You don't take nonsense. I like you. I like that brother. He doesn't take nonsense. They know me in my secondary school, in my university, in my polytechnic, in my college of education. They know me in my hometown. They know me in the hell. They know me in the devil. They know me in the spirit. They know me. I give it to you. Don't waste your time. You are not serving God. Jesus was called a lamb to the shearers. He did not open his mouth. That's what he was. Don't allow the world. Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says, verse 1 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, that's yourselves, a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. A living sacrifice. Say, I have the capacity to live a life of sacrifice. Humility is a fruit of my spirit. I walk in it. Hallelujah. He said, God is at work in you. Say, God is at work in me. But to will and to do of his good pleasure. You see some people, why? In their homes. The way they would talk to their wives or talk to their husbands. I'm just considering Jesus in your life. Or else, ask of me in those days. You know me. You know me because if I was you now, you go and tell pastor. Animal. It's an animal. It's weak people that hate others. You're a weak person. You're a weak human being. Strength is in forbearance. The guy told me, the way she spoke to me, sir. The way my wife spoke to me. Sir, I didn't take it again, no. I said, how many people speak to you like that? Enter, how many of you knew Molwe? Enter Molwe. No, Danfo has talk of different levels. Danfo will shout. Molwe will not shout. I have only put a check here. You see the guy. You think he's somebody you saw in a movie. They just brushes you, yeah. Say, are you talking to me like that? Bo! Omo. You need more than one angel. You didn't do that there. They say there, even your children. Have you observed that when they grow older, you don't beat them? All that, train up a child the way you will go. When there is, daddy. go now. You are as angry as you were. Levels have changed. You now practice self-control. Because it won't beat you, it will just block what you are saying. And you have POP. So really, you are only taking advantage of your power for now. That's the truth. Are you learning what I'm saying here? Humility, self-control. Don't complain. The brother said, I don't even know what's going on. Where are the ushers? Last week I was in this place. The seat was dirty. What's going on? I said, come. Whose house is this?
Oh, the house of God.
Is God your uncle? It's my father. That means there's a need. Join that department. Years back, for the year 2006 or so, then we used to dub tapes. Pastor Ayanorue was majorly in charge. I will be holding camp meeting. And he will leave the camp meeting and go and dub. But somewhere in Ikeja also. I think it's those Tonya's friends or something. They are Tonya's friends. Is that Tonya's friends? Huh? Ikeja, right? He'll go and dub. Who will be doing Holy Ghost meeting? He will be doing Holy Ghost dubbing. And he will not come back in the camp meeting. He's tired. Maybe I don't have his bath. Some people now say, Where is my tape? So one day I just showed to the media stand. I saw a sister saying, if you don't, he said, Ayo, I'm telling you. Even of course, it was brother Ayode, was not a pastor. He said, "Ah, you have done well." I said, "What's going on?" Sir, a Christian in church. Bro. Sis, you are breathing like that in the service. Sorry, sir. I said, "You are not possessed." Say, "Christian, don't need deliverance. You need deliverance, oh." So, what's going on? "Sir, I booked for this thing 3 weeks ago. My tapes. So. I said, "Where are you? What happened?" He said, I'm very sorry, sir. I'm sorry, sir. I'd gone to do this." And then I said, "You should have told her." So, "I'm trying to. She's not." I said, "Okay, no. Give her the tapes." He gave her the tapes. She collected it. "Thank you, sir." So, I said, no, come back. You know, for him to have done the work late, that means there's a need somewhere. Right? Say, "Yes, sir." Because if there were more than this, we would have given you the tapes earlier. "Yes, sir." So, God has a call on your life. Join that department. "Sir?" Exactly. She stopped complaining about tapes from that day. Why must you be complaining? You think you are serving me, right? That's why you are complaining. If in your mind you are serving the one who died for you and you are copying his examples, even in uncomfortable circumstances, you will not complain. He was in worse situations. He was even rejected by the people he was sent to serve. But not once did he raise his voice in complaint. Let me ask you a question. Was Jesus appreciated? Huh? Did he complain? "You are not appreciating me in this church. I want to go to a place." You go to where you are celebrated. We celebrate you. And you are hearing that. You didn't run away. We celebrate Jesus. If you are going to serve God, you serve him without complaint. Hallelujah. No murmuring. No arguments. It's in the Bible. It says, quickly, as sons of God, without rebuke, blameless, harmless, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as light, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Follow this one very well. That I may have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Because if moment you start living in complaint, Paul knows that his work is in vain. It's not good to serve alone. Serve the right way. Then he says, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also you joy and rejoice with me." I've said this many times. Where joy is missing in your service, go and check your heart. Strife has entered. Pride has entered. Jesus served joyfully. I thought at the convention, the oil of service. What is the oil of service again? Joy. You are cleaning the seats. "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving me your son." So I say, please move the chair now. Are you not in the ocean? "Even your spirit and your work on earth is done." Not that your heart is going. Your heart is saying, and then your heart and your mouth are fighting. No. What is in your heart? You're thinking it. Somewhat more than gold. Somewhat more than gold. The spirit of the Lord in the life of a man. He's somewhat more than gold. I love that man of Galilee. And you're sweeping the floor. For he has done, you own a company, multi-$1 million. For he has done so very much for me. He has forgiven me all my sins and sent the Holy Ghost to me. I love that man. You are full of joy. You are the security, accessible to park, and you are laughing. Glory to God. Thank you. No, I said, just park. Park. Please.
drop your key, oh. That's how you finish that, and everybody can't leave, can't leave. I don't want to, I want to go to my house quickly after second service. They say you have dinner meeting. Drop your key.
You are wasting your time, oh. That service is not unto God. Because you cannot complain. That sacrifice is becoming an abomination. Present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable worship. Do not be conformed to this world, verse 2, Romans 12. Or be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Which means you cannot allow the world to dictate how you serve your Christ. The world uses money to serve. You give your life first. Paul says you first give us your lives, then your offerings. I tell many pastors, money is not the first thing you need in ministry. Willing hearts. When a man is not willing, he gives as a transaction. When a man has not given his life and is giving his money, he's yet to serve God. And there are many folks like that. They can pay for television, they can pay for radio and all that. But when it's time to pray, it's time to preach, it's time to serve and clean, they won't want to do it because they believe money will do everything. Those people have the love of money in their heads. There are people who are serving God faithfully without money, and it's honorable and faithful and true. Are you following what I'm saying? But if you serve God and you have money, you will give it. You will. So, he says, look, Philippians 2, I've read Romans 12 already. He says, look, in verse 18, and the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Verse 20, I have no man like-minded. Look at that statement. Like-minded. So he sends Timothy as an example of what he's talking about. We'll see that shortly. Like-minded. Look, can we take verse 21 together? For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus. Verse 22, but you know him, the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served me well in the gospel of his son. You know him. Naturally. He's given to service. There are brethren like that. When I see them, I'm inspired. They are just given to serve. They don't complain. Anytime you call them, there are some, before you call them, you are praying. Father, I pray, Jesus. Touch his heart. They say, bro, how are you today? Fine, sir. I said, fine. Very fine, sir. How was the service? Ah, Pastor, you, in fact, you ministered to me. You touched those areas of my life. Great, great. How's the week like? Ah, thank you, Father. Thank you, sir. I'm just, you know, walking in the glory of God and all that. I don't know whether you heard about the prayer meeting. I noticed the word prayer was mentioned in the assignment, in the announcement. But before you go for that, I want to tell you that I'm traveling to. But there are some. You didn't tell them. There's prayer meeting today. He said, what time, sir? They are just inclined to serve. There are some. You will fast, you will pray before you even tell them anything. Why? They are like Saul. Saul got to a point that Samuel, when Samuel first chose him, he said, it's not me. That the whole nation was saying he's Saul among the prophets. When God sent Samuel to him, Samuel was afraid. In fact, when Samuel told him that you've disobeyed God, your kingdom is taken away, he said, no problem. However, listen. When we are going on television, you must not say it. Just stand beside me. Man, it's just for newspaper to carry it. This is on Instagram. If you are the person, someone that can disobey God can kill you. He said, no problem. Let's just go together. And God says, go and anoint David. Samuel said, He was now afraid to talk to Saul. May position not enter your heart in Jesus' name. Wealth, exposure in this world will not enter your heart in Jesus' name. You won't act your money. You won't act your status. You won't act your age to be proud. You will act like Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He became afraid. Your pastor is not afraid to talk to you. Because you have been, in fact, some of you, the way you have spoken, you've apologized though. Pastor, I'm really sorry for how I spoke that day. I was really under pressure. I'm really sorry. You know, from that day, the pastor will still be careful. Once bitten, forever shy. He'll say, before I talk, I hope you are not under pressure. Because you are, I don't know where you are under pressure. And those things that we say, they will stand against us. Every loose comment that you make will serve God faithfully. Some of you will lie. I can't be available today. You lie about money that you don't, that you have. What? Ananias and Sapphira, what's the problem? They said they were giving. What did they not give? You lie about money. You lie about time. You lie about everything. Who are you serving? Don't, because of the excuse of some pastors who are bad eggs, claim not to serve God. You know, all men of God are the same. That's a stupid statement. That's a statement of somebody who is not a serious Christian. All human beings are not the same. All men of God are not the same. All churches are not the same. So you cannot use the judgment, a bad judgment somewhere, to judge your own church. You know our church. We're faithful to the gospel of Christ. We're faithful to the service of Jesus. So if you are not serving faithfully here, and you are not giving faithfully, and you are not committed faithfully, it is your fault. You are only proud. That's what you are. Somebody told me, said, you know, I came to your church, you didn't even like recognize me. As who? Spirit of God. You don't even know me. Thank God I didn't use an example. In the meeting, like this brother. I've changed though. I will have pointed to you. This brother was telling me in the first service. He said, I don't know anyone like Timothy. He loves you naturally. He does. Naturally. There are some guys there, they are just servants. We've seen them. I've seen some folks in this ministry. I saw them from their preschool days, their school days. When they graduated, some of them are married now. Some of them were, you see, nothing has changed. And sometimes when they want to say, no, don't forget. Don't forget who you are. Samuel said to Saul, when you were chosen, were you not small in your eyes? I've seen them. Good examples. That's why some will assume that everybody in the Saints Community Church are very, very young. Because we don't act it. Or you expect us to carry our certificate on our head. I was born AD. That loses the flavor of service. You don't know anybody walks anywhere. There's someone like that. When the person introduced herself to another person, and I just saw you at that stand in the camp meeting. They just walked away. They don't teach us like that here. No matter who you are, you serve. No matter your age, you serve. Praise the Lord. There's a 70, almost 80 year old man, a brother here in this church, an elderly brother, who was serving. Somebody else was flaunting age in his 40s. I said, that man is almost double your age. And he looked at his, you know why he looked at? He felt the man is not wealthy. That's why he's serving. That if he's wealthy, he will not be here. Is that only a Christian? We're not serving God because we don't have an option. Bro, there are options. We're serving God because it's the only option we chose. We are not here because we have life's problems. I never said yes to the gospel because I didn't have any problem. But my dad at a point said to me, why are you praying like that? You don't have any problem. You are too young. She said, one day said, how many sins could you have ever committed? They are serving God this way. True love has come down. Has come down to my heart to stay. True love has come down. Has come down. It's making me shine. It is Jesus who won my heart to stay. It is Jesus who gave me life to live. It is Jesus who saved me from this hell. It is Jesus. Not pastor. Not your HOD. That is why he has the say, Holy Lord, I worship you. Precious Lord, I give my heart in praise. Lord of glory, I worship you. I stand to testify, you died and rose for me. No job, no man, no place, nothing can take your time, can take your place. You said you are busy at your work. When you fall ill, did you go? When you fell ill, you didn't go now. You took sick leave. You did not go. When they sacked you, did you go back? It was just a priority issue. There was a brother years back. I said, you know my prayer for you? He said, what? That they should sack you. I said, yes. Because you are losing everything. So I'd rather have you when I had you then. Humbled by life. This one, you are prouding. Prouding is a Nigerian word. That's no Greek word. Praise the Lord. See, I'm humble by the Spirit of God. I'm not haughty. I'm not proud. I'm a true servant of God. I give myself as a living sacrifice. Just like Jesus. Hallelujah. So Timothy was naturally inclined to love people. He had caught the spirit. He's not just excited at the gospel. Glory! We are the Father's house. Hallelujah. We are his mansion. We do nothing. We are all he says we are. So those are statements of salvation. But statements of spiritual growth. We do something. Tony Cook said, when Jesus said, it is finished, he didn't say you are finished. I agree with that. You are the Father's house. The Father's house in the four Gospels, was he doing nothing? The Father's house in the four Gospels was humble. He was not proud. He was not complaining. The Father's house in the four Gospels gave himself for us. So if you are the Father's house, ask the Father's house. Say, God is at work in me. But to will, and to do of his own good pleasure. The second thing we want to look at quickly, again, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. I forgot a quote by Reverend Chris Okoti. I was going to give it to you. He said this years back. When I heard this statement, I didn't understand it. But 25 years ago. He said, the world is not fitted for you to obey God. He said, the world is not designed for you to obey God. And that's true. John 16:33. He says, in this world, be of good cheer. In this world, you have tribulations and trials. But in me, you have peace. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. The world is not fitted for you to serve God. The world will make it easy for you to serve God. And we'll be in this world. We'll walk in it. We'll earn the world's money. But we are not conformed to this world. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. You learning something here? You should. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Where did Paul get that from? Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The word in here, fervent in spirit, is similar to what happened to Jesus. In John's Gospel chapter 2, we said we serve the Lord with humility. We serve the Lord with lowliness of heart. We serve the Lord not with the mindset of our status, or our age, or our money, or our position. What else? John chapter 2. Jesus had just gotten verse 13 into the temple in verse 14. Then he made a scourge of cords in 15 and drove everyone out who were selling and buying. He said, take this in hands. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise. Disciples remembered. Alright. The situation, the zeal of thine house, they said, has eaten me up. The zeal of thine house. Now in Romans 12:11, the word we read, fervent, is the word zeal. It's used for boiling water. And in those days, they didn't boil water with what you use today, electricity. They boiled water with fire. You put it literally on fire. And the metals would transmit the heat. So it was very hot. Very hot. So he's saying, fervent in spirit. A word used for Apollos in Acts 18 verse 25. And here, when they saw what he did upon the resurrection, because they will have wondered, why did he do this? What he did was very odd. He just entered in. And I tried to get the narrative in the Greek. He entered in and he literally upturned the whole place. He wasn't just going, why now? What's going on now? This is not right. This is not right. He was literally saying, get out of this place. Come on, leave this place. Take this out. Take that out. And you look at the guy. Man of God. Don't forget, he did not harm anyone. He drove those things out. Upon the resurrection. When his disciples now heard him teach the word of God from the Old Testament. Luke 24:45, he said in verse 44, these are the words that I said while I was yet with you, that all these things must indeed be fulfilled, which were written, verse 44, in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45 says, he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So they now understood. So when he said, destroy this temple in 19, after 3 days I raised it again, he said, that is his body. They remembered. So as soon as he rose from the dead, what he did in the temple, that means when he did it in the temple and several things he did afterwards, he wasn't clear to them. Why is he acting this way? Why is it this way? In other words, it was like, what's come over him? Upon the resurrection, he found it was something prophesied in the scriptures. And they called it the zeal of the Lord. The Greek word zelos. Zelos. Taken from what we read about zeal. Z-E-O. Boiling, burning. Now, that prophecy that they found is in Psalm 69. Psalm 69. And verse 9. For the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. It's the word quina. It's used for passionate attitude or jealousy. The same word in Numbers 25:11 for Phineas. I don't remember Phineas. Numbers. Remember Phineas? When they were committing immorality in the temple, he brings out the spear and he throws it in the two people committing the fornication. And he said that was zeal. Now, of course, negatively used. That is a passion that ignores the audience. And that word, quinas, is used for jealousy. We're going to see it in a moment. Jealousy. That's the Hebrew word. He says, and eating me up. The word akal, it means I'm consumed. If something has eaten you up, that means it controls you. It controls you. It's something that takes over your being. In other words, there was something about the service of Jesus We've mentioned his humility. There was a passion to it. See, I know a man who was backslidden by his enthusiasm. He's no longer that driven. He's not driven. He's not boiling. You know, when something is boiling, you can't touch it. You can't. If something is boiling, really, have you taken tea before that's very hot? You didn't know. And you rushed it. And your entire tongue just goes white as snow. That's how a passionate believer is. You can't stop him. He entered into the temple. And he was passionate. And then when he rose from the dead, they said, "This is the zeal of the Lord." That word is the same word, interestingly, zealous, used for jealousy. Write this down. You can't serve God in quiet. It's not possible. You can't serve God in a docile way. No. The service of God, brothers and sisters, is contagious. It's infectious. If your service is not affecting anybody, check what you are doing. There's some of us. It's on Sunday mornings. Someone just calls you. Where are you doing now? Pali. Now Sunday now, go church. I will church now. Maybe we talk later now. Yeah, go young soon. Finish. I go up here. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you are only wasting your time. And you are not growing. Be fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. The version says, do not lag in zeal. Be on fire. Be on fire. When I was a Christian, you know, I used to be today hot, tomorrow cold. And my major problem, two problems I had. One, I used to watch a lot of movies. A whole lot of movies. In fact, people would call me to come and tell them movies. And I'll describe. Then I love music. Secular music. Then other things. Pranks. I was given to pranks. Christian. But the day I said that was over. Because you can't give something half your attention. What is it for? And I said to the Lord, in the house of my grand aunt, I said, I'm going to give you everything. From now and forever. From that point. It's not quiet commitment. Weeks after, some guys have been talking to us about holding the fellowship. I said, we're doing word convention. Straight away, there's no... He said, do we print flyers? I said, we don't have money for flyers. Go and get typewriter. And then we started. By the next... By that meeting, I was already preaching for 3 hours. 4 hours. If at one time I said, well, I preached on revival. This first convention. And I said, how was the meeting? Of course. After I assessed their soul. But that man Odoko said, I'm revived. The passion. We had a song back there. I don't know what I've heard it before. The zeal of God has consumed me, burning my soul. A mighty force that cannot be stopped. A fire that cannot be quenched. Oh, hallelujah. You know the song? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, the zeal of God. Which demon possessed you? Gadara is contagious. The minute it's no longer contagious, brother, you are backsliding. It's contagious. Something has taken his place. He said, the zeal has taken, has consumed me. It took a hold of Jesus. Watch this. The word zelo is either used for or against. It is the same Greek word for jealousy. When you passionately are against someone because he has something or has done something. In Acts 5:17 and Acts 13:45, they acted in that rage. And zealous is not inactive. When they did that, they opposed. In fact, in Acts 5, they put Peter and John in jail. In Acts 13, they attacked Paul. So, it is not something that is docile. There cannot be zeal and not activity. It's not possible. And there can't be service without zeal. Are you following this? In Romans chapter 10 verse 2, Paul says that they went about with zeal without knowledge. It is a zeal was bad. It's just without knowledge. In Romans 13:13, it is used for strife. In 1 Corinthians 3:3, it's used for strife. In 2 Corinthians 12:20, it's used for strife. Galatians 5:20, used for strife. James 3:14 to 16, is used for strife. I'll take it again. Romans 13:13, strife. 1 Corinthians 3:3, strife. That's the word zealous. 2 Corinthians 12:20. Galatians 5:20. James 3:14 to 16 is used for strife. Hebrews 10:27 as well for strife. But that's adversary. But in 2 Corinthians 7 is used positively. Not by his coming only, but by the constitution wherewith he was confident in you, when he was told as your earnest desire. Your earnest desire. Verse 11. He called him vehement desire. Zeal. Vehement desire. In chapter 9 verse 2. I know the frowardness of your mind, which I boast of you of them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has provoked very many. Your zeal has provoked very many. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 2, I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. So listen carefully. The same way jealous people act, those who are zealous in God's service, they act. It's an active word. When you are committed to prayer, you are zealous about it. Whatever you are committed to as God in the service of God, you are zealous about. Half-hearted commitment or activity has no reward. You have to be zealous. You have to be zealous. See, they saw that the entire ministry of Jesus was burning with fire. Everything. The way he taught, the way he preached, it was weird. It was burning. It was infectious. It was contagious. And Paul now writes, don't lag in zeal. Be fervent. Remember, every offering in the temple had fire. We've done that study before. So he said, you are now that living sacrifice. In other words, you must be on fire. You must be on fire. So, fervency is not youthfulness. Fervency is spirituality. It's not youthfulness. When I was young, you used to do all those things. It's when you were a Christian. Not when you were young. You are no longer a Christian. At least in your activities. Serving the Lord has fervency. Zeal. Zeal to do what? In other words, there's a boiling. You are boiling. You know the way you boil when you are angry. The way you boil when you are walking in sin. Anger is sin. That boiling. You are boiling. There's enthusiasm. You are enthusiastic.
Let us go
and preach. And then today, something is wrong.
Let's go to church.
David in the Old Testament said, I was glad when they said. I was glad. Some folks, I was sad. You are sent to preach the gospel. Mark 16:20. How do I go? I go zealously. I go zealously. I go with passion. I go with a burning passion. Burning passion. Sometimes I'm told no. Sometimes I'm told yes. Sometimes I'm said, come back, I'm told come back later. Burning passion. Remember when I started out to start preaching the gospel, I had a healing service. Inspired to heal the sick. As I laid hands on people, all the testimonies I took, they said they were not healed. Naturally, my intellect seemed dampened. Then somebody I respected now said to me, that why did you lay hands on the sick? I said, Mark 16. He said, Mark 16? Are you an apostle? He said, all the demons you chased now have come back. I fell sick that night. And I was sick for a while. So, I went to Oyeko Clinics in Lagos Island. So I went to the house of my cousins then to stay. They were Muslims. But in my heart, I just said no. I wanted to do this. So that day, I just, you know, when you have this space of the day where you are a bit better. So I looked at their shelf. I saw a book by Charles and Francis Otter, a very red book like this, To Heal the Sick. I now began to read it. As I read it, that flame I had before just came back. And I got up on the bed. I said, I'm going to heal the sick till the ends of the earth. I'm taking the healing path, missions of the earth. And I was feeling hot. But I got up. What happened? That's the zeal of God. It had consumed me. I only needed the right company. Wrong company takes away that zeal. One of the ways you will know a wrong company is if they dampen your enthusiasm. Now, some people can be around to just correct you. Maybe you are getting a bit excessive. Maybe you are not taking care of other things in your life. But anything that takes away that zeal is not of God. And I got up. I began to preach the gospel. In fact, at some point, I counted all the houses in my area then. I said, I'm going to enter each one and preach the gospel. That is zeal of God. It looks weird, right? He doesn't, no, think about it well. No, it's called zeal. The zeal of the Lord. It has consumed me. It takes over someone's being to preach the gospel. The zeal is also there to pray. To pray. Passionate. To pray. You serve the Lord in prayers zealously. Not that you'll be looking at your wristwatch from the first hour. When is prayer ending again? 9 o'clock. Eh? 6. Oh. Lord, I commit my spirit. In Matthew 26, Jesus, if I let's look at the Luke's rendering, let's see the way he prayed. Some of us think it's because, you know, see, now that I know the word of God, I don't know how to pray that way again. I just pray with authority. No, not authority, authority. I pray with authority. What's authority? Langa, logogo, sherere, wapa wapa. Luke's Gospel 22. Verse 43. In fact, verse 41. He withdrew from a stone cast and knelt down and prayed. In verse 44, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. If you see anybody praying like this, say, are you crazy? In Acts 4, they prayed and the temple was shaking. That is where they gathered. Go! The other door, ga, 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 ga. What's going on here?
is zeal of God. Hallelujah. In Acts 2, the day of Pentecost. You know, if they were, so I was, in fact, the Jews would have joined them. Think they were meditating on the Torah. But it louded, it was a loud noise abroad. More! I mean, the race is the zeal of the Lord.
Don't forget, he was going in people's houses. So don't go and use your zeal in someone's home. It's a public place where normally the worship of God goes on.
And so, you cannot take away zeal from serving the Lord. That passionate, burning flame of fire. Zeal to pray. You know, you can see somebody praying, you see, because you know the person is praying. Somebody came for one of our meetings and said, "Ah, Pastor Chris, is somebody else I see on TV? Oh, I thought your church was CAC." I said, "Why? You are just praying." I said, "How was I supposed to pray?" Hallelujah, Lega, Jesus, my Lord. Hallelujah. No. What you see on TV, on the media, is backed up by endless prayer. We have no strength of our own. Hallelujah. We're not into showmanship. You pray with zeal. You pray with zeal. Are you praying with zeal? Do you pray with zeal? What else? Watch this. Remember in John 4, he was tired. In fact, they left him hungry. He was tired. He was already tired. It was like, you know, after you have done a baby camp meeting, you've done workers convention, you've done WCC, and then they say, "Let's go and get pastor food." And he sits down. But he now saw his soul. Hallelujah. He's tired. In fact, he went to that wall seated. They met him standing. That's the zeal of God. He said, when they came back, they said, "Has he eaten?" Because maybe somebody brought food for him. He said, "No, my meat is to do the will of he that sent me." Hallelujah. And to finish his work. That is the zealous of God. At that point, you know, you are tired. You even have a bad day. But somebody calls you and says, "Can you please explain God's word to me?" Something just crazy. Okay. Are you with your Bible there? Somebody who was with you earlier. Have they called you now? Have they changed the issue? Say no. What now? We are so happy. Somebody got born again. It's the zeal of the Lord. It overwhelms your emotions. Zeal, even when he was tired. Zeal for the gifts of the Spirit. Paul says, covet earnestly. The same word. The best gift. 1 Corinthians 12:31. Covet it. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Follow after love. Covet spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Same thing verse 13. Same thing verse 39. 1 Corinthians 14:39. Forbid not to speak with tongues. Convert to prophesy. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without. How can you pray without ceasing? That is zeal. Zelo. It's always burning. In all things give thanks. Verse 18. This is the will of God for you concerning you in Christ Jesus. Then he says, quench not the Spirit's fire. Quench not the Spirit. Spenumi in the Greek. Keep the fire burning. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things, experiment all things, and hold fast to that which is good. You cannot walk in spirit-filled prayer without zeal. You can't walk in spirit-filled preaching without zeal. You can't walk in the gifts of the Spirit without zeal. In 2 Corinthians 11:2, he said, "I'm with godly jealousy. I'm jealous over you." In other words, in your taking care of the flock, there's a jealousy to it. Where you guard the flock of God jealously with zeal.
That's why Paul will say, look, for me to say the same things to you, for me it is not grievous. Philippians 3:1. For you, it is needful. Zeal in the care for the flock. Where there is no zeal in service, service is empty. The opposite of zeal is half-heartedness, weak resolve. That's why a little temptation, a little challenge, you back out. It's because there was no passion. A friend of mine used to say this, that the most bankrupt man in the world is a man that has no enthusiasm for what he's doing. He's like a bankrupt person trying to buy something. The currency of service is zeal. You are passionate. Are you passionate about prayer? Are you passionate about coming to hear God's word and studying it? Are you passionate about the preaching of the gospel? Are you passionate? Christ in his service was passionate. Not because of material gain or benefit. Not because of fame. He's passionate because of lives. Zeal. It's a proof that what you are doing is the Spirit of God. Passion. The Queen of the Old Testament. The Zealot of the New Testament. That eats a person up. Is taking over. One time my dad, he had done all to stop me from preaching the gospel. Everything he could do. He had embarrassed me publicly. He had, in fact, there was a point, he did other things I cannot say here in his good memory. So one day I now sat him down. As I sit down, he thought I was about to repent. I said, can you remember the night yourself and my mom slept together and then she got pregnant? She said, I said, remember well. Do you know why she got pregnant? She got pregnant. He said, what kind of question is this? He said, to give birth to somebody that will preach the gospel. He just shook his head. He said, this is the end. I said, you can't stop. He said, who is influencing you? I said, no, I'm the one influencing people. He thought I was being influenced. He said, I want to know the person that is making. I said, you are making a mistake. I'm the one influencing others. How? It's called the zeal of the Lord. How many years down the line am I talking about? I've left the schools. I've done other things in my life. And I will do other things in my life. But the zeal has never left me. It's the same passion. Same passion. Like I always ask, how far are you willing to go? How far are you willing to go? How far? I was sharing with you about Pastor Ladele who came for the workers' convention. I said to you, he's going to talk about his life. The pastors were there. The things I told them before he came were the things he said. I said, it's not something new. Many meetings he was talking about, I was there. Same contagious spirit. You can keep it fresh. If you have lost your zeal in this service, you'll get it back. That passion that almost made people think you were mad. Can't you think, Shego, think, Shego, what's going on? Look, I'm not saying, balance this thing, Shego, balance. No! It's the zeal of the Lord. Hallelujah. It has consumed me. It eats me up. Oh my God. It's like a burning fire. How can I live a day without prayer? How can I live a day not studying God? How can I do it and not praying in tongues? How? It has become a life to me. Serving God without zeal is like trying to buy with no money. Like a man trying to purchase and is bankrupt. Never trade your zeal for friendships. Never trade your zeal for marriage. Some are regretting it now. Many are. 1 Corinthians 15, I'll close from here. And verse 58. Paul had just explained the beauty of the resurrection. Mentioned how the resurrection is the hope of Christians. In verse 19, If only in this life we have hope, we are of all men miserable.
Talks about the mystery in 51. In 57, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
And in 58, therefore, because of the glorious resurrection of the saints, where death will lose its sting, where everything that is valuable in this world will now finally be pronounced what it is, no value. Say, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Say, I'm steadfast. That word is the word hedraios in the Greek. It means be firm. H-E-D-R-A-I-O-S. Be firm. Be firm. Be steadfast. The word you find in 1 Corinthians 7:37 used by Paul about marriage in Colossians 1:23 in the midst of suffering. To be immovable. That word there means be stubborn. Is your choice. Anatekinetos in the Greek, A-N-E-T-A-K-I-N-E-T-O-S. Be immovable. Be someone that you cannot touch. Be immovable. I was telling some younger preachers. I said, contrary winds are positive to a man of faith. They drive your conviction strong. Opposition should not scare you. It should embolden you. Immovable. Always abounding. The word abounding means to do more. Whatever is not making you do more is killing your zeal. Don't marry and not do more. Don't start a business, you can't do more. Don't travel and you cannot do more. The Archbishop of that host, I used to say this. I will never forget it. The founder of Church of God Mission. You say a lizard in Nigeria cannot become an alligator in London. Which means, if you are truly fervent here, anywhere you get in the world, you will be. You won't be able to live with yourself and not win souls. Live with yourself, not disciple people. Live with yourself and not pray. Because that's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. Always abounding in the work. Egon in the Greek. In the work of the Lord. Can you imagine? He says we should do more. Don't give yourself pass mark. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I've tried now. After all, I mean, from my secondary school, I was doing Fortress. I've now done CBFC. I'm now pastoring in Shomolu. I've tried now. Let me have some me time. I need some me time. It's hello. Hell time. Paul wrote to those who are officials of the government. He wrote to those who are businessmen. He wrote to those who are married and unmarried. He writes to those who are young and old. Be steadfast. Immovable. Always abounding. Always abounding. I told someone, I said, when you married this woman, she was fervent. What happened? I said, I don't know, sir. You should know. If you cannot inspire this person, you are not doing the right thing in her life. Some women do the same thing for their husband. The guy will be burning with fire like this. As soon as they get married, you start getting fat. That's where he's doing more. Before you know it, new habits come. You know, we want to go to the movies. You know, you find people, they can go to the beach and spend 8 hours. Family hangout. They can watch movies. 2 episodes, 3 episodes. It's church that their bum bum is scratching them. 1 hour. 2 hours. What is it about? That means you actually can stay. It's your priorities that have changed. All your friends now are for is, have you seen the latest? If we should do more, it's not vogue. It's not getting more houses. He says, Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Look at that word. Always. Someone say always. Say always. Abounding. For as much as you know that your labor, the word there is the word toil. Kopos in the Greek. Your labor is not vain. Because 2 Corinthians 3:8 says you will be rewarded. Your hard work is not vain in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, how is your service? Don't fool yourself that what you have come for in today's meeting is service. Right now, amongst other people, I'm the one serving. You are receiving the service. Are you serving? Are you serving with humility? Are you serving in spite of your age, in spite of your situation, in spite of your material possession or status? Are you zealous? When it's time to go to church, how's your zeal like? Has it changed since? Is it changed from when you were in the university, the college of education, the polytechnic, when you were younger? Has it changed from last year? Are you as passionate as you are when you go for follow-up and evangelism like you were last year? If not, something is wrong. Check it before it becomes a habit. Because if you adjust, it's going to be very difficult. Never adjust to what is wrong for long. It will become what is right before your eyes. Today, let your zeal return. I pray that your heart will burn with the fire of the Spirit of God. You will hear these things just to write them down. But you will hear them as God's own servant to check your heart, to check your service. Let us pray. Our Father, we commend our hearts. We examine our service in our different departments, in our different zones, in our different private lives, even in our homes, to serve you like we should. Free. Let that zeal burn again. Let that fire burn again. The fire in the university days, the fire in the secondary school days, the fire of last year, the fire of earlier this year. Let it burn again. That consumes you. That takes the whole of your being. Causes you to fast for long. Pray for long. Ignore watching movies. Takes your attention off frivolities. People may call you a fanatic. You are not a fanatic. You are only a servant of God. What you may lack in the natural is not an hindrance to you. You are single-hearted. Focus on Christ.